Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Here we go. Jake and Josh are here to analyze the game they love for the team they love. This is another Dolphins podcast. Here's your host, Jake Mendel and Josh Houts.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of another Dolphins podcast. I am your host for this episode, Merrick Brave, a lifelong Miami Dolphins fan, columnist for the Finsider, and today I have a very special guest once again joining me for round two, the greatest running back in Miami Dolphins history, Ricky Williams. Ricky, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you.
You always laugh when I say that. This is the second time I've had you on now and you're laughing. So I just got to ask you, if you don't think you're the greatest running back in Dolphins history, then who is?
So Larry Zonka. Okay. And I'm a very, very close second. And you know, I don't live a life where I have very many regrets, but the one regret I do have is that I didn't finish my career as a Miami Dolphin, because if I had, I would have been the greatest Miami Dolphins running back ever. I think I'm like 400 yards short of Zonka's all-time Miami Dolphins rushing record.
Yeah, real close. And I mean, You had a couple different stints with the Dolphins there. Obviously, you know, when you came back the second time around, you were in a running back by committee, as they call it now, with Ronnie Brown. How was your time splitting backfield carries with Ronnie Brown? How were you guys as friends as well as teammates?
Well, it's a funny story, the way it all started, you know, and again, my whole career is a funny story. But I was in India, and I remember talking to time Coach Saban, and he said, I know there's been a lot of stuff going on and you've been away for a year, but we're different and we'd love to have you back. And so I started to get really excited about coming back to play football. And I was in India. I was in Rishikesh, this town up in the Himalayas, and it was draft day. And so I had to walk a ways to get to the internet cafe, because I wanted to see who the Dolphins were going to draft. I think they had the number 3 overall pick. And so I was coming back and I was excited to see who are they gonna draft. And then they drafted a running back and I was like, damn. It was the second time it happened to me when I was in New Orleans. They drafted Deuce McAllister. You know, when you're the starting running back and they draft a running back in the first round, you know, it's typically not good for you. And I was traded from New Orleans a year later. Yeah. So when that happened, at first I was like, man, this is going to be tough. And then I met Ronnie and I was even like more upset, because, you know, at first, you know, I didn't really like him that much, but.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't. And it was weird. He was coming in and, you know, with all the, and so it was just awkward in this kind of competitive environment. And I remember it was the first game of the season. I was suspended for the first 4 games of that season, because I was coming back after a suspension. And so it was week 5 and I was coming back to play. And Coach Saban, you know, he sat Ronnie and I down and he said, Rick, you're the vet. You know, you've been doing this. You're the starter, you know? And I looked and I said, and he said, you and Ronnie will split times, but you're the starter. And I said, that's not right. I don't think. I said, Ronnie's been doing a good job. And, you know, if we're going to split time, like, I think he should be the starter. And I don't know what it was, but after that, I felt like slowly Ronnie and I, you know, the ice started to melt. And, you know, within another suspension and coming back, Ronnie was my best friend, you know, he's my workout partner. And I think how close Ronnie and I were, it must have inspired the coaches, because it gave birth to the Wildcat. And, you know, running back by committee, we had 4 running backs on the field at the same time in the Wildcat. So pretty much all running back room got to be on the field at the same time. So we loved it. And, you know, splitting time with Ronnie, I think it added years to my career. It made me a better player. You know, that competition of us always trying to one-up each other, but still supporting each other. It's rare, but it was really special.
And are you guys still pals today? You guys still keep in touch, you and Ronnie there?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you know, I think when you, first of all, playing football, just being on the same team, having to go through training camp and a grueling season together, there you create lifelong bonds, but especially the people that you share a running back room with, you know, and going through so many things together. Yeah, I think Ronnie and I will always be tight.
That's great. So you touched on the draft there a little bit. You talked about a couple of your experiences with the draft. The draft's coming up. You know, drafts, what are we, less than a month away for the NFL draft, or maybe exactly a month away now that I'm looking at it here. But the Dolphins recently had a large contingent of coaches and staff members at the University of Texas at their pro day. Now, that's your alma mater. I assume you keep up with the team this past year. What do you think of the skill position players for Texas coming into this draft? Do you think there's anybody on that Texas team that would look good in the aqua and orange of the Miami Dolphins?
We got a receiver, Worthy, who broke the
40-yard dash record. Yeah.
And so I could definitely see him fitting in the Dolphins offense. Have so much speed. And he's got sure hands. He's a good kid. I think he'd be a great fit. I think the running back room is kind of full right now. And I think, you know, Dolphins right now are pretty solid. I don't think they have really very many holes at the skill positions.
No, and that's another thing people are bringing up with the Dolphins at this Texas Pro Day is, in fact, there's a couple defenders at the University of Texas that the Dolphins could look at. You got a couple defensive linemen. Yeah, Tavondre Sweat and Byron Murphy. What do you think about those two guys in their game there?
Yeah, I mean, I think people might not realize it, but there's a legacy of defensive linemen coming out of the University of Texas. I mean, if we go back 25 years to when I was playing in Texas, we call him Puffy. Sean Rogers and Casey Hampton. You know, two first round picks in the NFL, and you know they grow them big in Texas. And if you see impressive year that the Longhorns had last year, a lot of it was driven by the play of the defensive lineman.
Yeah, everything's bigger in Texas. That's the saying, right? All right. It's so true. It's true. Well, you know, we touched on the draft here a little bit. You know, draft season means that free agency has already started. We're kind of, what are we in, like the third week of free agency at this point? All of the big names have been scooped up. Some of those big names were actually running backs. And recently, over the last few years, you've seen the running back market kind of decline a little bit. And running backs haven't been getting the big paydays that they did in the past. But this offseason kind of felt a little bit more like a throwback. You had Saquon Barkley signing a big deal with the Eagles. You had Josh Jacobs signing a big deal with the Packers, Tony Pollard with the Titans, DeAndre Swift with the Bears. What did you make of the free agent running back class and the deals that they were getting this offseason? And do you think the running back position in and of itself is kind of back on the rise?
Slow down. I wouldn't go that far. I'd say a couple of things. I'd say one, you know, I do a lot of interviews, and I'd say the past 2 years, a question that's come up consistently is about the market for running backs. And I think it's beautiful, right? That's how media works. If you keep hearing a story over and over again, it gets into your head. So I think that's part of it. The other part is we're talking about free agency. And I think the other part about this conversation going on and on again is the running backs are listening. You know, everyone's paying attention. And what I've said all along is there's running backs and there's superstars. And Derrick Henry, a difference maker, right? Superstar. Saquon, no question, superstar. Okay. The other part of it is you look at the league and you can agree that a majority of the teams probably underappreciate the running back position. But there are other teams who run the ball really well and could, and the way they play football, right, is very conducive to having a strong running game. And you see in the markets where the teams that made moves to pay running backs are teams that their style of play is conducive to having a good running back. So I think the right running back going to the right place is going to get paid, but you're not going to see the wrong running back going to the wrong place. You're not going to see that anymore. Because I think too many teams have been burned by giving running backs a whole lot of money and not getting their money's worth.
Sure. And, you know, you mentioned Henry to the Ravens. Out of these deals that these guys signed this offseason, which do you think is the best fit? Henry with the Ravens, Barkley with the Eagles, Swift with the Bears? Like, where are you leaning on that one?
I think there's this combination of a big back, you know, a skillful back with a quarterback who can hurt you with their legs. That's just so difficult to defend. Oh.
So you got to be talking about the Eagles, am I right?
I'm talking about both, right? Because you have Lamar and you have Derek in Baltimore, and then you have Jalen and Saquon in Philly. So I think both are, you know, it's going to be dangerous, but I think the edge goes to the Ravens. You know, the Ravens are so close and just needing that one piece, and if they can find a way to make that combination work, and that's a big if. You know, because we can talk about having the right chess pieces, right? But do you know how to use those chess pieces in a way that you can win? And I think whichever team figures that out, and I think the Eagles are probably a little bit closer to figuring that out. But whoever can figure that out, I think is gonna answer that question for us.
You know, that's a good point. And you know, we can't talk free agency and the Ravens without talking about your own free agency. You know, many years ago. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that was the only time you hit free agency was right at the end of your Dolphins career. And then right before you signed a 2-year deal with the Ravens, ended up only playing 1 year with them. Can you explain to me that process from a player's perspective when you hit free agency and does it kind of feel like the college recruiting process all over again, like we've heard at times through the media?
Well, you know, I know if you're reading old stories and you're looking at stats, it sounds like I went through free agency. But, you know, and I'm joking about this because I'm old enough to be able to laugh at myself, is the draft, which we talked about, one of the worst days of my life. The free agency experience for me, it was horrible. You know, like when I first signed my contract, the ideal, and I was idealistic back then, is that I would never want to become a free agent, because for me, it wasn't about trying to make the most money. It was about trying to have the most impact. And in my mind, again, I was naive. You can have the most impact if you stay in one place. Okay. So my contract was not conducive to reaching free agency, which is why I didn't reach free agency until I was 34 years old. Okay. So, yep. I'm actually working right now. You want to come back in a few minutes? Yeah, you want to come back in a few minutes?
For those just listening to the podcast via the audio stream, a beautiful child just walked onto the screen, and Ricky's in dad mode now. I think a lot of us know how that feels, but
yeah,
very
cute.
I'm
going to get mama. She's going to be upset. I'm doing an interview. You got it. Who am I talking to? Is that what you want to know?
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi.
You want to say hi?
Hi, my name is Merrick. It's nice to meet you.
You want to say hi to Merrick?
Hi. How are you? Are you going to be a running back?
Are you going to play football? Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. You think so?
Mm-hmm.
That's funny. Don't worry about it, Ricky. We, my co-host on this podcast, Josh, he has 3 little girls that jump in on every recording that we do. So our listeners are going to,
they're used to it.
Okay. Yeah. They're totally used to this happening. Yeah. In fact, that's why he doesn't jump on the interviews with you. He's like, I don't want my kids to come on and ruin it. But I try to tell him that it's part of his charm.
Yeah. All right. I'll be done in a couple minutes. Okay. Bye. I'll see you later. can you close the door for me? Oh, thank you. Bye. I was saying that the draft was one of the worst days of my life, and free agency for me was not great. Because it was the year where the players were holding out. Or was it the lockout? I don't remember now, so long. Either we were locked out or they locked us out. So in that case, the draft occurred before free agency. And so being a player that's a running back that's in their 30s, you know, it wasn't a priority for teams to sign me after they already had guys from the draft. So they wanted to see if the guys they drafted didn't work out. And then so my free agency went all the way into training camp. And my agent at the time, Drew Rosenhaus, called me up because the running back for the Lions had tore his Achilles. And the young running backs that the Ravens drafted, they weren't happy with. So they needed someone to back up Ray Rice. And so I got a call, and the Ravens were offering me a little bit more. The Lions, I knew the offensive coordinator because he was at Miami with
Cam Nick. Cameron, correct?
No, not Cam. Cam was actually, it's funny. Both coordinators had been in Miami. Cam was the coordinator at Baltimore. And who was the, do you remember the coordinator under Nick? Who was the offensive coordinator?
Oh God.
Linehan.
Scott there Linehan. You go.
Scott, it was Scott Linehan. Scott Linehan. Linehan was the OC in Detroit. And from my perspective, yes, Baltimore, a better organization. They're a perennial playoff team. But I wasn't comfortable. I don't mind being splitting time, but I wasn't comfortable just being in the backup role. So again, it was like make a little bit more money, but be relegated to a backup role and a better organization, or have a chance to go to Detroit and actually play a bunch for a young upcoming team.
Sure.
And my personal choice was to go to Detroit, but Drew had a better relationship with the Ravens. And so I ended up at the Ravens.
That's interesting. Oftentimes as fans, we don't get an insight into how those things play out. You know, you mentioned Drew having a better relationship with the Ravens, so that's why you went there. In the fan's mind, it's always the player's choice. He gets to choose, you know?
I mean, it kind of should be. You know, but a good agent in Drew's persuasive. And it happened so fast, you know? It was like, because again, training camp had started, so I was staying in shape, and then all of a sudden, phone calls, right? You got to make a decision on that day. But I love my time in Baltimore. Almost made it to the Super Bowl.
Sure.
Got to play with Ed Reed and Ray Lewis. And Coach Harbaugh is a wonderful coach. So it was a great experience. And Baltimore is a wonderful football town. But yeah, again, and my one regret, you know,
is leaving Miami.
Should have stayed a Dolphin.
Yeah. Oh, man. We like hearing that on this show. All of our listeners are going to like hearing that. Are you still connected with the team at all? Do you visit? Have you been down there since Coach Mike McDaniel has been with the organization?
I'm getting closer. They sent me a care package this past year. I am still close with Sam Madison. And so,
oh, great.
You know, I'm talking to Sam, and you know, now that he's on the coaching staff, it kind of is like an easy way for organic way for me to reconnect. So, I'm sure I'll be at a couple of games, see if I can get myself in the Ring of Honor.
We need you in that Ring of Honor, Ricky. We're all rooting for you. You know, just to see you at training camp and coaching these young guys up, that would be really fun for us, all of us longtime Dolphins fans. So, all right, that's enough Dolphins talk. We've done the whole Dolphins show. I want to talk about Heisman now. You know, we talked 2 months ago. You guys had some exciting new products. In the last 2 months, you've launched even more. You now have an online website where people from many states all over the United States can order your products online, get it shipped directly to them. And I got to tell you the truth. The first time I hopped on to getheisman.com, I was actually really surprised at how affordable all of your stuff is online, you know, with obviously your name behind it. You know, you could charge an exorbitant amount for these products, but I'm looking at this stuff here and we've got a 4 gram THC-8 disposable vape for $36.99. Like that is more than reasonable. Tell me a little bit about some of these new products that you guys have out there right now. Tell me a little bit about the difference between just a regular THC vape and then a THCA vape and what kind of benefits you can get from using a product such as that you have on the Get Heisman website right now.
Yeah. You know, so now I'm, you know, taking off my retired football player hat, and my businessman hat. So yeah, a couple of years ago, I decided, you know, with my story, that was very inspiring and, you know, moving through the stigma of cannabis, I think I found out and inspired a lot of other people whose coaches or parents or wife or girlfriend were giving them a hard time about smoking. And so, you know, extending this and taking it into a business, we started in the THC side, and it's still federally illegal, and it's so restrictive in so many states that we're fighting the good fight, and the brand is growing. But we saw, because of the hemp bill, that there are other cannabinoids that are legal. And so in states where they don't even have medical programs or very restrictive medical programs, there's still a way for people to get access to cannabis. And specifically THCA, and this is kind of business regulation, we can call it a loophole, you know, is that THCA. So by definition, hemp is legal, and hemp is anything that is below 0.3% THC, below 3% THC. And anything above that is considered illegal federally. So THCA is actually below that 3% until it's heated up, and then it turns in, then it becomes psychoactive. So it's a way, again, to get legally to get people access to cannabis. And, you know, it's kind of a controversial issue, but from my perspective, you know, it's a way to get around these stupid regulations and get people access to whether it's recreation or medicine that they're looking for. And when you say, what is this useful for? That's another part of what we're doing, is educating people. Because at least when I was growing up, the only education I got was, this is your brain. This is your brain on drugs.
And you got the fried egg in there.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, we're so much more evolved than that. You know, we know that so many people are getting so much relief, whether it's physical relief, whether it's psychological, emotional relief, is people are feeling better, you know. And in my studies of studying the history of cannabis, you know, for thousands of years, people have been using this to feel better. And we went through the dark ages, the past 60 years of cannabis prohibition, and coming out of it, you know, I feel proud to be a spokesperson and an advocate that's really helping people get access to feeling better. And I can speak firsthand, you know, not only my mental health issues, but more importantly, being a football player is rough. You know, it's tough physically, mentally, emotionally, and, you know, cannabis really helped me navigate all of that and be able to deliver my best week in and week out. And whether someone is looking after kids, looking after their parents, right? We're all doing things that stress us out and challenge us. And if we can feel better and get inspiration, you know, we improve the quality of our lives. Absolutely. And that's what we're all about. And so I'm proud to be able to get the word out and to offer products to facilitate this for people.
And who could be against that idea, making people feel better, making people live a higher quality of life? You know what I mean? The THCA, is this good for pain? The Delta 9, is this good for pain management and things like that?
It's great for pain management, but we're talking about an herb, you know, and most of us have grown up, when we think about medicines, thinking about pharmaceuticals.
Sure.
And so, you know, the basic principle is pharmaceuticals, you know, we don't understand how they work, but they make us feel better. All right. Herbs, it's more of, herbs are working with your body. And so, all right, it's like, so let's say someone has a lot of pain, you know, let's say they sprain their ankle, you know, and if they take Advil, it works as anti-inflammatory and they feel better. Whereas if they're using something like cannabis, which does have some anti-inflammatory properties, it's more of, they're just more relaxed, mm-hmm. you know, and instead of numbing ourselves to something, we can relax through it and move through it. You know, it's like having a difficult conversation with your partner, you know, and if you're tense and stressed, you just fight back and it doesn't go well. But if you can like take deep breaths and relax through it, right. It feels
right.
It goes better. It goes much better. So, you know, the whole thing with cannabis and other plant medicines, it's a different way of looking at the world. But people are starting to appreciate this different way of looking at the world and seeing that we need it. You know, if we're spending all of our time and focus chasing money or doing all the things that other people tell us we're supposed to do, and we're not listening to what's really important to us, we're not going to be very happy people.
All right. You guys heard it here first from Ricky. When you get that text that says we need to talk, you got to get the vape out. You got to take a couple hits off that.
I'm like, it's funny. It's funny, but you, I'm telling you, saved
it works.
Many, many, many relationships.
And I'm looking at the website right now. You actually have some really cool packaging for this stuff. You got the Texas burnt orange on these vapes and these gummies here. And then for us, obviously Miami Dolphins fans listening to this podcast right now, watching this video on the 560 WQAM YouTube feed, you got the aqua and orange Miami Dolphins. You got the pregame, the halftime, and the postgame strains right here. That's exciting. That's good looking stuff. That's some really good marketing from your team there, Ricky.
Well, the whole point of marketing is to help people feel good. You know, it's part of our whole thing. And I think, at least for me, I found, you know, being a smoker, like I was outcast. You know, like, you know, you go to the doctor and you have to lie, you know, because he'll shame you and tell you it's bad. So it's like people who appreciate cannabis, like we haven't been welcomed in the world, you know? And so I'm trying to create not only in the products, but even the feel and the look, right? That people feel, okay, like someone's finally thinking about us and taking care of us. So I feel honored to be in this position.
I ordered the halftime version of the Miami Dolphins, which I zoom in here a little bit. It's called Merino's Magic. Are you trying to tell me Dan smokes, Ricky? Is that what you're trying to say right now?
We all have our ways of entering the zone.
Another thing I wanted to talk to you about, Ricky, you got something called the Silo Sessions that you're going to be doing in Salem, Oregon here soon. These are psilocybin therapy sessions. Am I right?
I'll say they're therapeutic sessions, but they're not therapy like you see on television where someone sits in a chair and they talk. Sure. And they talk to a therapist. This therapy can take multiple forms, you know, and it really is an extension of the conversation we've been having. Is that psilocybin, cannabis, ayahuasca, there's so many combo, there's so many new plant medicines. They're not new, but Americans, the West is becoming more open-minded, not only to the plant medicines, but to the effect and the healing quality. And in my life experiences, you know, going through difficult memories and mental health struggles, cannabis, psilocybin, ayahuasca have all helped me tremendously. And now that Oregon has opened up the ability to use psilocybin therapeutically, we're taking advantage of the opportunity and creating a safe space for people to come and heal. And it's unfortunate that because of the history of psilocybin and other plant medicines, people wait until it's the last resort. You know, most of the people that reach out to us are, I've tried everything and nothing is worked. You know, it's great that they have a place to go and they're coming, but it's sad that they have to suffer so much because of the stigma. And so we're really trying to create a safe place for people to come and get to know themselves better and get to the bottom of whatever is ailing them so that they can start to feel better.
And what can customers expect if they book a session with Ricky Williams to come out and do this therapeutic psilocybin session with you?
Yeah, well, they'll be fortunate because I have many tools. My favorite tool is an astrological chart. And, you know, a lot of people laugh at astrology, but astrology serves a very similar purpose to psychedelics. The word psychedelic means soul revealing. And the reason we look at someone's chart is to understand who someone is on the inside, what's their motivations, what moves them, really trying to understand their soul. And so before the session, we'll have a conversation where I'll introduce someone to the astrological view of who they are and help them understand themselves better. And it typically primes certain themes or issues that will arise while we're on the medicine. And, you know, usually, especially a microdose, depending on someone's tolerance, allows the defenses to drop down so they can see themselves more clearly. And it's often nice to have someone you trust and respect there with you to facilitate that process. And if someone feels like they need to talk and share things, I'll be there. If someone needs to be silent and someone just to sit there, I'll be there too. So it's really facilitating a safe place for people to engage in this deep kind of exploration.
And you have, you know, sessions that last 30 minutes for as little as $70, or you have sessions that last as long as 8 hours for a little bit more. People can book those at silosesh.com. That's PSILOSESH.com, silosesh.com. If you want to have an experience with Ricky Williams, using psilocybins and getting a therapeutic session here. Ricky, this was a therapeutic session for me. This is the second time we've chatted now, and I said it after the first time, but it feels like we're old friends. You're so easy to talk to. It's very fun to have you on, you know, talk football, talk, you know, therapeutic uses for cannabis and psilocybins. It's been great having you on here today, and I just want to thank you for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is fun. You know, we just launched this, and it's kind of trippy, you know, pun intended, to be, you know, talking on podcasts about this project that we're doing. You know, just again, 15, 20 years ago, I was in so much trouble for cannabis, and now I can offer this opportunity for people to feel better. This is cool.
And you can feel, we can feel how genuine you are and how much you are interested in helping other people because of the way that these things have helped you in the past while you were playing, how they're helping you now. And I think that's a great thing. That's where the charm comes in, is that yeah, you're genuine with it.
But I will say there's a special, like for me, it's, yeah, I love making people feel better. That's great. But there's this special kind of feeling that comes because a lot of the people that show up, the things that have us tied up in knots are things that we're ashamed of. And so to be witness to that process where someone, it's like confession, right? Where they get something off of their chest, and to be that one that doesn't judge them or make them feel bad, but to be the one that helps them move past it. It's my favorite thing in the world, just because I know going through my shame of, you know, getting kicked out of the NFL and almost throwing my life away, and having people who would allow me to share my story and understand it. Oh, it was so healing to me. So to be able to play that role in other people's lives, I feel like it's what I was on this planet, what I'm on this planet to do.
Well, hell yeah. We love to hear that, Ricky. Again, getheisman.com if you're interested in purchasing and having them delivered directly to your home, some of this Heisman product here, and then silosesh.com if you'd like to book a session with Ricky Williams directly, face-to-face. Ricky, thank you for coming on today. Until next time, my friend, can I get a fins up from you?
Fins up.
I love it. Thanks, Ricky.
Yeah, you got it.